It lays the predicate and the foundation for the development of a weather satellite that will permit man to determine the world's cloud layer and ultimately to control the weather. And he who controls the weather will control the world.
Tolerance and apathy are the last virtues of a dying society. Ancient and timeless wisdom from Aristotle. Some individuals have made it a point to remind me that many past predictions have been made throughout the ages about societies or the world as a whole that never came to pass. Predictions of collapse, if you will. And my response to them is this. What do such historically incorrect conclusions by whatever individuals have to do with now, or this moment in time, in which a conclusion of unfolding biosphere and societal collapse is not a prediction, but a rationally undeniable mathematical fact? Unimaginable challenges are not off on the horizon somewhere. They're here. And these challenges will intensify by the day. How are we to respond? Will we collectively decide to join the battle, to fully expose this insanity, which is the first and foremost important leap we could take in the right direction toward changing our current course of certain near-term planetary omnicide? Or will we collectively turn two blind eyes to the oncoming train? Why are we here if not to dedicate ourselves to the fight for the greater good? This is Dane Wigington. You're listening to the Global Alert News Hour for March 3rd, 2018. This is a commercial-free news program brought to you by geoengineering.org and is broadcast throughout Northern California on 1670 AM, 104.9 FM, and 105.7 FM, Saturday mornings, 6 to 7 AM, Sunday mornings from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. Global Alert News is also broadcast on the East Coast by the PRN Radio Network, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on Saturdays. Recordings of this broadcast can be found at geoengineeringwatch.org under the recent top stories and radio sections. A few brief announcements. I'll get right to headlines. Geoengineeringwatch.org informational materials can be picked up for free at Orchard Nutrition if you're in the Redding, California area. Speak to the staff in the vitamin section. Anyone who wishes to order the latest awareness-raising materials can do so on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org. I apologize that geoengineeringwatch.org does not have the resources to mail out these materials for free. We simply try to supply what we can, and we do it at our approximate cost so that we can get these materials into circulation. That is our only goal. Help us to sound the alarm. This effort will take all of us. Arm yourself with credible data from a credible source. Jim Fair, a very staunch ally of geoengineeringwatch.org, I announce every week their events, because if you're near those events, encourage you to attend, pick up free materials there at the geoengineeringwatch.org booth, and help us to sound the alarm. And the organizers and owners of Jim Fair have now stated they will give a free pass into Jim Fair for anybody who is there to pick up geoengineeringwatch.org materials. Consider that. They're doing a great deal to help us. This week's event, from the 2nd yesterday through the 4th tomorrow at the Del Mar Fairgrounds, Del Mar, California. Next week, Pleasanton, California, March 9th through 11th at the Alameda County Fairgrounds. And the following week, Reno, Nevada, March 16th through March 18th, the Reno Sparks Livestock Event Center. You can get more information at the Jim Fair homepage. If you're near those areas, attend, get free materials, help us to sound the alarm, help us to bring climate engineering to light. I want to give a very brief update on our ongoing legal efforts to expose and halt climate engineering. These are very difficult efforts because the system has been set up for decades to make it difficult. First, our attorneys have now received a response from NOAA, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. There are several thousand documents in question that may be systematically released to us. We will not know if these documents are of any help until reviewing them. That will take time. What must be remembered is this. All of our efforts, even our legal efforts, are about reaching a critical mass of awareness as soon as possible. Again, that is the only way forward. I will continue to make announcements on our legal efforts, but in the meantime, every single awake and aware activist and individual is needed in the battle to help sound the alarm, in the battle to help raise awareness on this most critical issue. On a final note, our attorneys and I had a conference call last Sunday with a meteorologist. I'll summarize the discussion that took place by stating this. This so-called weather expert, like so many others from academia, was either criminally ignorant of the very field of which he is a societally recognized degreed expert, or he is completely, or was completely disingenuous, not honest. The conversation was absurd, and his attempt to try to state that some of the images he was shown of square clouds inside square corners on low pressure zones, radical radio frequency signature on cloud formations, and his attempt to try to find a way to conclude that those formations may be natural was completely absurd. And I'm putting that mildly. This individual was unfortunately a reflection of so many in academia. Academia that has, as a whole, so far, with few exceptions, again, completely betrayed the human race and the entire web of life. Diving into global headlines from last week, keep this in mind. Biosphere collapse is the bottom line factor that is and will continue to fuel rapidly increasing global conflict and chaos zones. Such scenarios are not temporary bumps in the road. They are the signs of the end of the road in regard to the reality that we have all previously known. Headlines that are related to this point. Iran bans use of U.S. dollars. And these headlines are from multiple sources in slightly different terms, so I'm not going to cite every source to save time. Iran bans use of U.S. dollars. This is one of the main reasons Iran has been demonized over the last decade and a half, two decades, or even longer in some capacity. And any country that decides it no longer wants to use the dollar, the empire's currency that it can print as much as it wants, is demonized or taken out, in the case of Gaddafi and others. So we're going to continue to see the attempt to overthrow Iran. Another headline, U.S. gross national debt spikes $1 trillion in less than 6 months. Something most people seem unconcerned about because they think as long as they can use their house for an ATM, as long as the central banks keep printing money and artificially pumping up the stock market, that everything's fine, and they have no understanding of the biosphere factor, which again is the bottom line. Another headline, CalPERS is near insolvency. It needs a bailout soon. Former board member makes stunning admission. Now, this has been the case ongoingly, and the only thing that has kept it from imploding so far is the continued artificial pumping up of the stock market. And that's why those in power are going to such great lengths to do so, because it masks the severity of what's unfolding. It pacifies the population because they're convinced as long as the stock market goes up, everything must be okay. Could not be further from the truth. Another headline, global growth, retail sales flop in US, UK, Canada, Germany, and Australia. Another headline, Peter Schiff, the party is over. What party is Schiff talking about? The fossil fuel fiesta, in the words of James Kunstler. It's over. It's in its death throes now. And the unraveling will accelerate. Another headline from Peter Schiff, end of artificially low rates spells stock collapse, recession. Partially true, ultimately, though, it's the biosphere. Biosphere is the bottom line. When there's not enough to go around, chaos will ensue. Another headline, HNA, this is a massive Chinese investment firm. HNA plans to cut 100,000 jobs worldwide. Another headline, Coca-Cola to cut up to 350 jobs in the U.S. Another headline, British gas owner Centrica to cut 4,000 jobs after, quote, weak year. Another headline, cheap gas is gone. Stark warnings over gas shortages. Another headline, nuclear waste mountains just go on growing. An excerpt from this report. Some politicians still claim atomic energy is the answer to climate change while leaving the problem of nuclear waste to our descendants. This is the mentality that's been prevalent with industrialized, militarized civilization. To hell with the consequences. And that's exactly the mindset that has brought us to this dark place. No consideration of the consequences. Another headline, Cambodia, Laos, losing the last of their trees. Excerpt from that headline, timber smugglers are devastating protected forest areas, grinding up nature to sustain industrialized, militarized society until the last possible moment, until nothing is left. And what does the military-industrial complex do? They're in search of resources. Thus, they're in search of occupying anywhere they can. And this is most especially true for the global empire of the United States and the U.S. military that occupies some 150 countries. This headline, Trump administration, troops can stay in Iraq and Syria indefinitely. Their actions sure don't match their rhetoric, does it? And it doesn't matter which administration we're talking about. Doesn't matter. That's the political theater I spoke about at the beginning of this broadcast. Doesn't matter. All theater, doesn't matter who occupies the White House and when will people get that through their head. All theater. The military-industrial complex does what it wants until the population wakes up and refuses to accept that. And this starts with our military brothers and sisters who are carrying out the bidding of the empire, wreaking havoc around the globe. I'm not saying that the individuals in our military are bad individuals, but if those individuals collectively, blindly carry out the orders of the empire, what does that make them? Collectively. Something to ponder. Another headline, the war against alternative information is ramping up. It's certainly ramping up. How long will geoengineeringwatch.org be on the air? We'll wait and see. We'll have to find out. It depends on public support. The more people help to sound the alarm with credible data, and the faster we reach a critical mass of awareness, the better our odds of salvaging what is yet left of the planet. And that effort, again, will take all of us. And another reminder on this, the state of the biosphere is and always will be the bottom line. No habitat, no humans. Very simple. If we collectively hope to at least slightly extend our stay on this once thriving planet, we must properly prioritize the use of our efforts and energies to those that are allowing themselves to get caught up, as I stated earlier, in the power structure and mainstream media theaters of mass distraction and deception. You're missing the point. You're part of the problem. Left, right, Democrat, Republican, conservative, liberal, all distractions from the converging catastrophes that are closing in on us all. Those that are waving their banners for Bernie Sanders or Donald Trump, doesn't matter. All are missing the point. All are disconnected from the bigger picture. Weather update. Winter storm Riley in the eastern U.S., complete with the recently coined bombogenesis scenario, again, as the climate engineer weather terrorists continue to engineer high and low pressure zones to steer the upper level wind currents, creating cool downs where they wish. More on that in a moment. There's also the drip, drip, drip in the U.S. West that has been named Winter Storm Quinn. At my remote off-grid location in the east, on the east side of Lake Shasta in Northern California, jets flying extremely low over the clouds can be heard whenever there's an engineered winter weather event occurring. It's like being at the end of an LAX runway. And how often are the so-called weather predictions now completely wrong? Consider that the so-called meteorologists are now nothing more than script readers who parrot the official scheduled weather narrative given to them from geoengineering contractors like Raytheon, like Lockheed Martin. And this is not my opinion, but a verifiable fact. Raytheon does all the weather modeling for the National Weather Service and NOAA. The government weather scientists, by the way, in these agencies who have the illegal federal gag order on them right now. Climate engineering contractor Lockheed Martin does all the modeling for the FAA. Yes, the foxes have long since been running the hen house. On that note, it must be always remembered and considered that the weather terrorists, the so-called geoengineers, decide where it will rain and where not. They can often decide where it will snow and where it will not. The climate engineers can and are using, as I have stated in so many previous broadcasts, patented processes of chemical ice nucleation to engineer winter weather in countless regions. These processes can induce frozen precipitation at considerably above freezing temperatures. If the temperatures are already cold on the surface, and these processes, as they continue, tend to create a cold, dense layer on the surface. The climate engineers can lower the temperatures still further with the same chemical ice nucleation process. There's no natural weather at this point. None. And how many truly blue skies do any of us see any longer? How much toxic material from the climate engineering fallout is raining down through our breathable air column for us all to inhale, for the entire web of life to absorb? How many commercials do we now see for allergies, asthma, COPD, even Alzheimer's and dementia? How many of these commercials have blue sky backgrounds? Not many. Most are with dim, hazy skies, often with increasingly unhealthy-looking trees in the background. All is in decline. Any who care to take notice of these things should be concerned. Everything is changing. The very visual nature of our planet, if you will, is changing radically. And so many are so busy on their iPhones and their distractions and with their, again, political theater, they are not taking notice of the fact that the walls are closing in on all of us. The forest is silent. I can scarcely go there now. A place where I loved to, in the past, roam for perhaps days into the trailless wilderness that surrounds the mountain on which I live, and I can hardly go there now. It's heartbreaking to me to see fir trees hundreds of years old dying or dead already. The ones that remain are simply ghosts. You can see right through them. There's almost no foliage left. They're on their last leg. All is dying. The forest is silent, and it's very difficult, again, for me to go there now, because when I do, all I want to do is get back in front of my workstation to try to figure out what stone have I not yet overturned or rolled down the hill to try to start the avalanche of awareness. This is where our time is best spent. This is the issue. The greatest single human assault against the planet and the web of life, the greatest threat we face, short of nuclear cataclysm, climate engineering. I want to get to bigger picture headlines. And for those that don't yet understand or believe that sources like Breitbart are total divide and confuse disinformation sources, here's a headline to consider. NOAA, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, caught lying about Arctic sea ice. This is from Breitbart, and this headline and the excerpts from this report are in themselves a visually verifiable lie, because I don't ask anyone to believe me. I never do. Those who listen to my broadcasts know I repeat this again and again and again. I'm asking you to look for yourself film footage from the cryosphere, the ice deposits around the globe, and see for yourself that it is literally disappearing at blinding speed. But so long as a source like Breitbart, that people that are completely controlled by political ideology, as long as a source like this says it isn't so and that something else is true, how many people blindly follow that? Absurd. Breitbart says this: sea ice in the Arctic is recovering after a period of decline. They say this: Arctic sea ice is getting thicker. Also a lie. And they continue to say this: on longer timescales, there is nothing unusual about the Arctic temperatures. Really, Breitbart? On how long a timescale? People die. That's not unusual either, is it? But if you run them over with a semi, they die much sooner, don't they, Breitbart? We have to put this into context. Let's look at the timescale. We may likely have an ice-free Arctic this September. Hasn't happened for 3 to 6 million years. That's a long time frame. Hasn't happened since humans have been on this planet. That's a long time frame, isn't it? If you look at a headline and you blindly follow it because it fits your ideology, you're a part of the problem. Investigate, dump your ideology, dump preconceptions, dump programming, and look at the truth. And in the case of the ice around the globe, if you simply watch a film called Chasing Ice, you can see with your own eyes. You can watch it online. I've announced this many times. Look with your own eyes. Decide for yourself. That film is non-political and shocking in what it shows in visual footage. With the backdrop of the colossal disinformation headline from Breitbart that I just covered, consider this headline from the Inquisitor.com and other sources. It was warmer in the Arctic Circle on Sunday, last Sunday, than Boston. Warmer at the North Pole, in fact, I'll get to more on that in a moment, than Boston. Raising alarm, the report says, at freakish warming trend. What does Breitbart and other sources like Breitbart not tell you? Climate engineering, they never, ever mention it. Even aside from climate engineering, the planet is in total meltdown. Even aside from the deception created by climate engineering, the short-term, highly toxic, patented chemical ice nucleation cooldowns, still in total meltdown. But sources like Breitbart will never mention climate engineering. And they've been given lots of data on this issue because I know people who have been giving it to them. Record low global sea ice right now. Record low cryosphere ice right now. Record low. That's the facts of the matter. From this report, I just read the headline on, scientists said the trend could grow worse as polar ice continues to melt. Now, that's another one of those could, may, might sort of headlines I talk about a lot. It's not could. It's not could going to get worse. It's going to get worse. It is getting worse. This is where academia, again, betrays the population. From that report, it was warmer in the Arctic Circle on Sunday, last Sunday, than it was in Boston. And scientists are raising alarm about what has been called, quote, freakishly warming trend in the coldest areas of the globe. The trend has raised alarms among climate change experts, perhaps like the one I mentioned we discussed with our attorneys or talked to with our attorneys, who warn that the effects of man-made global warming are coming faster than anticipated. And here we go again, could have devastating effects worldwide. Could. There's no could. There's no may. There's no might. It's only is. If we lose the albedo in the Arctic, and this is where climate engineering, again, and this is where many in the anti-climate engineering community need to look at all the historical data and all the facts when they claim that the climate engineers are intentionally trying to melt the Arctic, that's not true. They're chemically nucleating everywhere we look. They're trying to chemically nucleate the sea surface to create a slush on the surface to try to mask the fact that it's imploding. This is not to say what they're doing is good. It's not good. It's nothing but malevolent. But in their attempt to mask what's happening in the Arctic and to create engineered cool downs in the most populated areas of urban centers around the globe, they are worsening the overall warming of the planet, poisoning the entire biosphere in the process. That's what climate engineering is about. But what we, when we see academia referring to, for example, a lost albedo in the Arctic as possibly being devastating, there's no could or possibly about it. As we lose the reflectivity of the ice, and that may happen in totality this September, it's that bad, the ocean then absorbs 90% of what the ice reflected before. The ice reflects about 90% of the sun's incoming thermal energy. The ocean absorbs 90%. But the climate engineers, in their attempt to try to chemically nucleate ice on the surface of the Arctic Ocean, have actually trapped that ocean heat going into winter, trapped it below a lid so the heat could not release. Everything they do, just like much of what the pharmaceutical medical industrial complex does, is completely tunnel visioned. To treat one symptom while making the overall organism far worse, triggering a cascading effect of chain reactions that are exponentially worse than what they claim to be attempting to mitigate. The same that is true in the medical community or the pharmaceutical industrial complex is true with climate engineering. Again, how many commercials do we see for the latest pharmaceutical to treat a particular symptom? And then we hear the list of side effects that should make any sane person run for cover. And the next commercial is an attorney's group saying, if you took last week's pharmaceutical, you can sue this week because you're probably permanently sick and dead or damaged. Same mentality. So again, in summary, consider the semantics being used in reports like the one I just covered, and like so many I've covered in the past, like it, that are issued from a far less than honest academia. Descriptive could, may, might terms that are used to describe what absolutely are unfolding cataclysms. There is no could, may, or might about it. Such false descriptions of what is already certain are used to pacify a huge percentage of the population that is unfortunately still, again, all too willing to keep their heads buried in the sand until the brutal, bitter end. Another headline from ABC News and other sources. Rome blanketed by snow as Arctic storm sets seasonal records. This is the kind of headline that fuels the false headline that Breitbart just put out. This is a major agenda of the geoengineers to create this type of headline. But what are they not covering? The climate engineering elephant in the room and the record warmth elsewhere that was created as an effect of the elements used to create these engineered cool downs. From this report, the Arctic storm dubbed the Beast from the East saw temperatures across much of Europe fall Monday to their lowest level this winter and even brought a rare snowstorm to Rome, paralyzing the city and giving its residents the chance to ski, sled, and build snowmen. Exactly the kind of headlines the power structure and the climate engineers want, and exactly the kind of headline that sources like Breitbart jump on to give you a very untruthful overall picture of the planet. This report continues. Elsewhere in Europe, the storm set dangerously low temperatures. Lithuanian officials said temperatures that plunged to as low as minus 24 degrees Celsius, that's minus 11 Fahrenheit, in some places were to blame for the deaths of at least three people over the weekend. Hospitals in Lithuania and Latvia have reported an uptick in people being treated for hypothermia and frostbite. Another headline. I want to get through this particular theme to show you, or to compare with, rather, where it's not cold. Starting with the North Pole, where much of the cool air mass to create this engineered cool down came from. Here's a headline from the UK Guardian, part of this theme. World Weather Watch, a beast, again, the theatrical headlines, just like the Weather Channel naming their storms. Theater to create a certain perception, a certain mindset in the population, a confusion, a division as to the true state of the climate, thus fueling sources like Breitbart and the false narratives they put out. Headline again, World Weather Watch, a beast unleashed by stratospheric warming. Now, consider that part of the headline, stratospheric warming. What created the stratospheric warming that the meteorologists can't seem to figure out? And they've admitted on the record some that they can't figure out what's creating the stratospheric warming over the Arctic. More on that in a moment. Keep that in mind. From this report, an abrupt shift in temperatures high up in the atmosphere disturbed the jet stream and weather patterns, allowing cold air to seep south into parts of Europe. It didn't seep south. It was pushed south by the massive high-pressure dome that created the stratospheric warming over the Arctic. What would do that? Let's go on. I'll get to that. This event is called Sudden Stratospheric Warming, SSW. They always create an acronym so it seems legitimate. During the warm surge, temperatures were pushing 40 degrees Fahrenheit at the North Pole. 40 degrees Fahrenheit above freezing at the North Pole. How many mainstream media sources really trumpeted that? It was substantially colder in London and Rome than the North Pole. London and Rome, where temperatures dipped into the 20s and snow fell. So, in summary, it was nearly 20 degrees warmer at the North Pole than London or Rome, and it was nearly 50 degrees warmer at the North Pole than it was in parts of Europe, like Lithuania. It was even colder in Poland, negative 27 C, which is almost 60 degrees colder than the North Pole was during the same window of time. Did anyone, again, hear mainstream media trumpeting this kind of shocking fact? No. What we generally heard them hype up is how cold it is all over the world. But that's far from the whole truth. And let's not forget that the, again, engineered record cold temperatures that have been orchestrated in the most populated regions is only a shallow layer of cooled air. That's all. And how do we know this? Because geoengineeringwatch.org is communicating with commercial pilots who continue to confirm that they are seeing only above to far above normal temperatures at altitude. And then, of course, there's the geoengineering elephant in the sky that mainstream media and official sources would never dare to mention. And that the geoengineering patented processes of chemical ice nucleation for weather modification that are a major component in the engineered winter weather warfare cool downs, along with the ionosphere heater manipulation of the upper level wind currents from installations like HARP. And there are perhaps 80 to 100 of the larger ground-based ionosphere heaters located all over the globe. There's no longer any natural weather, as I stated, none. And that's not my opinion, it's a data-verified fact. Man's decision to play God with Earth's life support systems may be our final major misstep. And to be crystal clear, there is nothing benevolent about climate engineering. It is a weapon of power and control, nothing more. And for the legions of academicians all over the globe that are still pretending climate engineering is a potentially good thing, something that we could do, that we may do, that we might do, ignoring what has been going on for some 70 plus years, again, the betrayal of academia. That's the insane asylum we live in. But there is nothing benevolent about climate engineering. It is about power and control, period. This next headline is from AccuWeather.com. Hailstorm hammers Sacramento Monday afternoon, covers city with inches of ice. Chemical ice nucleation for weather modification. That is absolutely the bottom line factor in the now epidemic hailstorms, the massive hailstones that are coming down as well. They're chemically nucleating every bit of moisture they can to lower the temperatures on the surface. Cold, dense layer of air that settles to the surface, lowers the mercury in the thermometers, creates the illusion of ferocious cold on a planet that's descending into total meltdown. From this report in Sacramento, the hardest hit areas had hail accumulations of several inches on roads in less than an hour. Traffic was brought to a crawl with some vehicles pulling off the side of the road due to dangerous driving conditions. Against the backdrop of geoengineering chemical ice nucleated cool downs, consider the damage the weather terrorists are doing to agriculture in California, doing to agriculture and the environment. Here's a new headline from Vox.com, V-O-X.com. Spring has arrived early for much of the U.S. It's gorgeous and it's concerning. From this report, on February 21st, it reached 80 degrees in Washington, D.C., the earliest date on record to achieve a temperature so high in the city. And it's not just happening in Washington. For almost the entire West Coast, Southwest, and Mid-South, spring is weeks ahead of schedule. If another frost does occur, baby flower buds could be killed off before they get to bloom. Even something as seemingly simple as and beautiful as flowers blooming early can disrupt, again, there we are, can, may, might. No, it does disrupt the critically important link between wildflowers and the arrival of birds and bees and butterflies that feed on and pollinate the flowers. The U.S. Geological Service warns. Now, this is so incredibly simple that we don't need the USGS to tell us about this, but what happened in California? So we had so much warm weather, we had no winter. In fact, still, even right now, at my location on the east side of Lake Shasta, it still has not been below freezing a single day this winter. Not once. Not once. Though some areas in the valleys may have achieved below freezing because they're in a lower area, the lower areas catch the descending, cool, heavy air that I just talked about. But other regions have not gotten that. It has not frozen. Berry plants have not dropped their leaves. The trees drop their leaves, or they have fully foliated canopies of dead leaves, as I just did a video outlining that at geoengineeringwatch.org. And on the chemical ice nucleation, just put a new post up on that as well, with shocking photographs for anybody who wants to learn more about chemical ice nucleation and what it's doing around the world. Go to Top Stories in Recent and look at those posts. But the bottom line, we had the warm temperatures in California, things were blooming, and then we have the big engineered cool down. That's exactly what it is. Is this not weather terrorism at this point? That will further devastate what's left of the agriculture that's being fried by the incredibly intense UV radiation. That's not my opinion. That, again, we have now verification from, as of a few weeks ago, from major sources that are having to admit, oh, by the way, the ozone layer really wasn't recovering like we said it was. What a surprise. Geoengineeringwatch.org never deviated from the data, ever. We said it wasn't recovering, even when official sources said it was. We made clear that was not true, and now that's being acknowledged. So now we have the engineered cool down further decimating what's left of California's agriculture. Not an accident. And again, let's look at the storm on the East Coast as well. That winter storm Riley pushing ocean ashore that just happened to occur with the full moon. Is that a coincidence as well? So the tides could be as high as possible, doing more damage along the coastline there. At this point, because the power structure knows they can't hide the imploding biosphere much longer, the more they here and there decimate populations with what the populations still unfortunately perceive to be natural disasters, the less those populations can focus on the bigger picture. They are mired in their own difficulty and thus unable to examine the bigger picture. the sickening of the populations must also be considered. From vaccinations to the toxic elements raining down through the air column, and in regard to those elements, aluminum, barium, strontium, manganese, and likely biological elements as well, not theory or conjecture in regard to the heavy metals. Our lab tests prove this is coming down through the air column. We are breathing it in, all of us, with every breath. It is affecting our health, our cognitive ability. That also is a benefit to the power structure. They know the current paradigm is disintegrating. Make no mistake about it, they know it. And they are increasingly and more blatantly maneuvering to try to render the population ever less able to wake up and try to change directions or hold those responsible accountable. Another headline. This one is from InsideClimateNews.com. Sea level rise threatens to wipe out West Coast wetlands. From this report, unless people intervene, U.S. Pacific Coast marshes, here we go again, could vanish as the ocean rises, eliminating wildlife habitat, storm surge protection, and carbon storage. There's that could word again. Could, may, might. Total betrayal by academia. There's no could. When the oceans rise, not if. They're rising rapidly. That's not going to stop. There's so much inertia, so much momentum behind this heating of the planet. Again, heating at 4 to 5, at the thermal energy, I should say, of 4 to 5 Hiroshima bombs per second, 400,000 per day, the thermal energy contained in 400,000 Hiroshima-type nuclear bombs every single day. That's how fast the planet's heating, and climate engineering can't hide it much longer. While climate engineering is actually helping to fuel the overall fire, and the oceans are going to rise. You could shut off every form of human activity right now, and there is likely 50 to 100 feet of sea level rise baked into the system right now, at minimum. Likely the entire cryosphere will melt because the inertia behind the warming is so immense. There will be no stopping it, and the planet will take, if it can reach a new equilibrium and support life, it would likely, based on past paleo events, take 10 to 20 million years. The planet we have known is done. But when reports like this, again, use the could term, that when oceans rise, it could eliminate wildlife habitat. If we know that habitat is at sea level and oceans are going to rise meters at minimum, where's the could word appropriate here? It's not appropriate. And this is, again, where academia, because they're worried about their paychecks and pensions and they don't want to go against the official agencies which employ them, they simply downplay the severity. And as we've said at Geoengineering Watch since our existence began, that the climate disintegration is not as bad as Al Gore stated, it's exponentially worse. Al Gore is a criminal, a part of the power structure, a hypocrite, owns stock in the very companies he claims to be fighting, and like so many other, quote, green organizations who claim to be in the front line of the fight for the greater good while ignoring, completely ignoring, not only ignoring, but denying the single most environmentally destructive component of all, climate engineering, which also involves ocean fertilization and other processes, highly, highly destructive activities of the human race. All these green organizations completely ignoring this. So in fact, the climate disintegration is exponentially worse than any official source or any green organization is telling us. Continuing on, got food? Here's a headline along those fronts. When the store shelves empty out, that's when the population is going to be forced to pull their heads from the sand. Consider this new headline from the UK Guardian and other sources. Half the world's oceans now fished industrially. Maps reveal. No secret. The human race scouring every bit of resource it can off the dying planet. That's what's happening. From this report, data gathered from more than 70,000 vessels shows commercial fishing now covers a greater surface area than agriculture. Keep in mind, it's not just overfishing that's wiping out fish populations. The oceans are dying from countless forms of anthropogenic or human activity. And for those who want to blame it all on Fukushima, that's not true. For those who want to blame it all on the Gulf oil spill, not true. Are those two scenarios a factor? Of course. Of course they're a factor. Single greatest factor. The oceans are superheating and becoming acidic from absorbing carbon. Two biggest factors. And as they heat, again, the feedback loops trigger. Formerly frozen methane deposits on the seafloor are releasing. That's deoxygenating the ocean immediately, You have hydrogen sulfide that often releases with the methane. And that's where the massive fish kills come in. Radiation doesn't kill fish overnight. That's another factor. It's hypoxic and anoxic zones, low and no oxygen zones. The oceans are dying. They're becoming what's called Canfield Ocean, stratified, lifeless, superheated oceans. That's where we're headed. No more food going to come from there for much longer. Along those lines, headline that fits with that theme, Chinook salmon kings vanishing from West Coast. The largest and oldest Chinook salmon, fish also known as, quote, kings, and prized for their exceptional size, have almost completely disappeared along the West Coast. That's the main finding of a new University of Washington-led study published February 27th in the Journal of Fish and Fisheries. The researchers analyzed nearly 40 years of data from hatchery and wild Chinook populations from California to Alaska. Now consider this report from MIT Technology Review. This report is nothing less than a criminal cover-up of climate engineering. How nuclear weapons research revealed new climate threats. Lawrence Livermore Labs' increasingly powerful climate models have sounded a stark warning for California. Atmospheric scientists from MIT began pushing a computerized climate simulation to its limits. They noticed a disturbing result. As Arctic sea ice nearly disappeared, massive high-pressure system built up thousands of miles away off the west coast of the United States. The atmospheric ridge blocked major storms bound for California, cutting off rainfall. The model shows that as the North Pole summer ice vanishes, as is expected in the next few decades, no, perhaps this September, consider that. The report continues, it could turn down the tap for the Central Valley farmers, Sierra Nevada ski resorts, and cities throughout the nation's most popular state. Now, blatant, glaring, total climate engineering cover-up. It's not the melting Arctic that's creating the ridiculously resilient ridge over California, blocking precipitation. Same thing's happening in Spain and Portugal because they're diverting with the high pressure clockwise rotation, they're diverting the moisture up and around to engineer cool downs further inland. It's geoengineering, it's ionosphere heater installations like HARP, and reports like this from MIT. Total, glaring, criminal cover-up of climate engineering. And these people should be called out and held responsible. Do it peacefully and professionally. But seek out such authors and let them know that we know climate engineering is going on, and they absolutely must know also, and that the public will hold them legally and morally accountable. Help us to contact authors like this, send them credible data, do it peacefully, do it professionally, but let them know we know they know. Understand that. They need to be held accountable. Another headline, really extreme global weather events leave scientists aghast. This is what's really happening that places like Breitbart aren't telling you, are they? They're not alluding to this. Climate scientists are used to seeing the range of weather extremes stretched by global warming, but few episodes appear as remarkable as this week's unusual heat over the Arctic. This is a further follow-up story. Zach Labe, a researcher at the University of California, Irvine, said average daily temperatures above the north latitude of 80 degrees have broken away from any previous recordings. Think about that. We are in uncharted territory. To have above freezing temperatures at the North Pole in February, it's just wrong. Zero to above zero. Said Emil Meyer, a researcher of ice-ocean interactions with the Norwegian Polar Institute. It's quite worrying, she stated. The so-called polar vortex, a zone of persistent low pressure that typically keeps high-latitude cold air separate from regions further south, has been weakening for decades. Again, no acknowledgement of the climate engineering elephant in the room and ionosphere heaters. Institutions around the globe helping to cover up the climate engineering crimes. I want to again state that all of us must help with the effort to seek out such sources, websites, and individuals who are helping to cover up climate engineering. Send them credible data. This effort does take all of us. We can't do it alone at geoengineeringwatch.org. All of us need to follow up on this type of data forwarding to those who are in academia pretending that the climate engineering elephant in the room really isn't there. And this sort of cover-up must be exposed for what it is. This next headline should sadden and sicken us all. It was covered by multiple sources. Bald eagle found covered in ice in Oklahoma. Game warden Spencer Grace responded to the location and determined that the icy eagle was unable to fly more than a short distance after being caught in the recent ice storm. Who's ever heard of anything like this happening? who? A bird would be covered in ice that froze once it hit its feathers? This is chemical ice nucleation. This is why there's so many ice storms now, because the chemical nucleating agents are reaching the ground before setting up or landing on this, in this case, the eagle's feathers. And this is what the paid liars at the Weather Channel and other agencies like that are trying to cover up with their constant explanations of why there's so many ice storms now, why there's a warm and a cold side to a, quote, winter storm and an ice zone transition zone in between ice storm transition zone, because the chemically nucleated elements are reaching the ground before setting up, and that's what happened to the eagle. Another headline. This one relates to another form of geoengineering that many are still, as of yet, unfamiliar with, ocean iron fertilization. This science report can be found at journals.plos.org. Nanoparticulates are phototoxic to marine phytoplankton. Phytoplankton are the dominant primary producers in marine ecosystems, where they are the base of the oceanic food webs and a dominant component of the global carbon cycle, as well as other biogeochemical cycles. Now, plankton. No plankton, no people. That's very simple. So we know that the geoengineering programs destroying the ozone layer are frying plankton. We know that. Ocean fertilization, another form of geoengineering, the attempt to spread what amounts to industrial waste over the ocean to try to trigger a plankton bloom, but with particles that actually are highly toxic to the plankton. How much sense does any of this make? None of this makes sense. Geoengineering, climate engineering, aka solar radiation management, is the epitome of human arrogance and insanity. Every single aspect of climate engineering is causing massive, catastrophic, downstream, cascading consequences. That's the fact of the matter. And obviously, climate engineering isn't the only form of human insanity. I want to give another example here. Climate engineering is the single greatest, but this also alludes to the lack of sanity with our species. Stop to consider this headline deeply from Environmental Defense Fund and others. Scientists question risks of using oil field wastewater on food crops. Who couldn't see through that headline or that practice? The engineers and scientists who study the oil and gas industry's wastewater know the term beneficial reuse well. This term refers to the technique of taking wastewater produced from an oil or gas well, treating it, and then using it for other purposes like watering crops, including organic crops, by the way, and feeding livestock. This practice that drought-stricken areas like California have used for a number of years does not truly consider the health or safety risks of using this toxic wastewater to irrigate crops with water that about 98% of which is usually injected into disposal wells deep underground, as if it's just gone, as if it doesn't do damage there, which obviously it does. Report continues. However, as demands for water increase and concerns about disposal wells, which have been linked to earthquakes, rise, beneficial reuse is being considered as a viable option. Really, a viable option to take slightly treated, completely toxic fracking water and water our crops with it? Is there any sanity in our species? Here's another headline that should be considered. Climate change threatens major crops in California. Well, the fracking water is not helping much either, is it? California currently provides 2/3 of the country's fruits and nuts, but according to a new study published Tuesday, by the end of the century, California's climate will no longer be able to support the state's major crops, including orchards. The report warns that the increased rate and scale of climate change is, quote, beyond the realm of experience for the agricultural community, and unless farmers take urgent measures, the consequences could, there's that word again, could threaten national food security. One, the 2100 date, how absurd is that? It's here, right now. It's not the end of the century, as this report states. Crops are failing right now, all over the planet. Drive down I-5, you'll see them tearing out orchards right now, and other orchards they're shading with shade cloth, even citrus orchards shaded as far as the eye can see because they're frying from the scaldingly hot UV. This report is total public deception, and some people think this sounds doom and gloom. It is exponentially worse than anything this report says, and it's here now. Another new headline from the UK Guardian, the latest update on the critical bee die-off. Total ban on bee-harming pesticides likely after major new EU analysis. What about aluminum? Where is the aluminum in this factor? From this report, analysis from EU Scientific Risk Assessment finds neonicotinoids, which are bad, of course, pose a serious danger to all bees, making the total field ban highly likely. Again, I would ask, why is the UK Guardian and every other mainstream publication completely ignoring and omitting the recent peer-reviewed studies that now prove massive aluminum exposure is killing bees? So much aluminum, it is giving the bees symptoms that resemble Alzheimer's and dementia in humans. The peer-reviewed science studies actually state exactly that. The bees are dying of symptoms that most resemble Alzheimer's and dementia from aluminum exposure. Everyone who has any regard for their future, for their children's futures, for the future of life on Earth, should research bees/aluminum online. See what you find. See what you've not been told. The longer the power structure is able to mask and delay the unfolding total collapse, the longer the power structure is able to continue business as usual by pacifying first world populations with shiny distractions, the more total the coming inevitable collapse will be. As we face such challenges, consider this 2,000-year-old quote, timeless wisdom from Stoic philosopher Marcus Aurelius. Nowhere you can go is more peaceful, more free of interruptions than your own soul. Retreat to consult your own soul, and this is the most important part, and then return to face what awaits you. The battle for the greater good awaits us all. Soon enough, the massive skyscrapers and cities around the globe will be silent monuments to the short-lived era of the Anthropocene, the era of man. If the human race remains on the current course, this will be our collective future. As I've stated in the past, so many I have seen come and go from the front line of the fight to expose and halt the climate engineering insanity. So many I could never recall them all. Most felt that the reality of it was just too depressing, that life was better before they knew. Some seemed to want to return to their former state of ignorant bliss. Others convinced themselves that if they spent their time focusing on thinking happy thoughts, it would all magically get better. Neither path is correct. Once we become aware of a painful truth, a painful reality, there's no going back, not in any healthy psychological or spiritual sense. And for those who know, but choose to do nothing more than, quote, being positive, by focusing on occupying themselves only thinking happy thoughts. This is not why we are here. Modern industrialized, militarized society has spawned a culture of self-centeredness that produces an unfortunately large percentage of the population that actually believes that the purpose of life is to endlessly pursue our own personal pleasures at any cost. Can this be right? Does our sense of reason, our greatest gift, allow us to believe such a notion? Or does our sense of reason and virtue tell us something entirely different? If we would only stand still long enough to hear the faint voice of our conscience, would we gain a perspective of unshakable purpose that can only come with the realization and acceptance that we are all here for a purpose? We're a part of a whole that is so miraculous and complex that we cannot possibly comprehend it. This miraculous web of life of which we are a part is unraveling by the day. Anthropogenic activity, human activity, is the core causal factor. This cannot be rationally denied. And what is the epitome of self-destructive human activity? The climate engineering insanity. But the total list of planetarily decimating human activities is endless. We must first deal with the biggest hole in the bottom of the boat, and that hole is climate engineering, the greatest and most immediate threat we face short of nuclear cataclysm. Taken as a whole, our species has treated its host, planet Earth, with shocking contempt. So much so that one can only imagine a creator would likely conclude that there's no hope for our species. Our collective behavior is nothing short of suicidal. But is our collective demise truly carved in stone? Is there any chance of changing direction? And if there is, such a chance would require each and every one of us to do our part based on our individual circumstances. Truly unshakable solace and strength exists in dedicating oneself to the fight for the greater good. We must learn to effectively and efficiently wake others. Sharing credible data from credible sources is critical. We must all stand up and make our voices heard in this all-important battle for the greater good. Reaching a critical mass of awareness with the population is the only way forward. Until next week, this is Dane Wigington with GeoengineeringWatch.org.